back in Argentina. They were in Peru for a number of years, and now back in Argentina. And we're just so happy to have them. We missed them last year, so we get twice as much enjoyment this year. So.
Hey, good to be here. As always, Karen, maybe you should stand up. I don't know how many of you guys know Karen. I was just, my phone was just ringing. The guys in Argentina were trying to, they probably just finished their morning service, and they're trying to FaceTime, and like I wanted to send a message saying maybe a little later, but I didn't know how to send a message, so they'll just have to figure it out. It's going well. Thanks for your prayers for Argentina. We really really appreciate, especially these. We have three young men. Who are missionaries with us, living in the house, sleeping on the floor, because, well, we have two bedrooms in the house. Well, one bedroom really was, I mean, Karen and I we snapped up the bedroom, and then and one sort of large closet, which is where Pastor, I don't know if any of you know Pastor Fred Arruda from Baltimore, but he was sleeping in the large closet, and then these three young guys, Vijay from India, and Jimmy from Peru, which is a real blessing for us because he was one of our disciples in Peru, and now he's a missionary in Argentina, so that's an awesome thing. And then and Teo, a young man from Budapest. So these three guys sleeping on the floor because they don't have bedrooms, but just really living the mission's life and winning souls. And so just pray for them. Appreciate your prayers for them. They're all down there right now. And Vijay will be up in Baltimore for a convention. So if you're there in Baltimore, if you're able to make it down to convention, you can look for Vijay. And maybe he'll come up here. Who knows? I think that he said he was up here. Yeah. He goes around. He's amazing. I mean, and all of these guys, we got a Hungarian and an Indian, and of course the Peruvian already spoke Spanish, but he had to learn Argentine Spanish. But so all of these guys are speaking Spanish, preaching in Spanish, soul winning in Spanish, and it's been an amazing time. Amazing time. And then you got, I noticed here you got like the, what do you call your music group? The Five Guys? Or, you know. And hey, which is sort of weird because two of them don't even eat hamburgers. Yeah. Okay. That wasn't that funny, right? Okay. Yeah, I didn't think so. That was sort of a groaner. Okay. Hebrews, and by the way, what a great word for the offering. Man, like, you know, we almost don't even need to preach anymore. I mean, actually, like, that was an amazing word for the offering, wasn't it? Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, wow. So, Hebrews 10. And I love, and I'm going to sort of take off a little bit on one thing that he said about the reward. You know, like, I think too many times we think about rewards as only like after we are in eternity. And I think that too many times we sell it short here. It's sort of like when we soul win, you know, if we only say, well, listen, you know, like one day you're going to die, and after you die, you know, okay, it's true. I mean, it's true. We're looking for, like, you know, for people to have their eternal destiny changed. But actually, like, God wants to be in their life right now. Not only like one day after you die so you got a, you know, like a pass into heaven, but actually like it's like God in our lives and in our hearts and in and encouraging us, consoling us, whatever we need, right? And sometimes we need encouragement, and sometimes we need consolation, and sometimes we just need a hug, right? And the body of Christ is good for that. And it's so awesome to be here among you, with you. And let's read a couple verses here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. In verse 32, I guess, just for the context here. Recall. It's not such a difficult command here. It is a command, but it's not so hard. It just says, recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. Hey, I don't know if I want to recall that, but wait, there's a reason for recalling that. Yes, you were illuminated, but then you endured a great struggle with sufferings, and partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Hey, did you joyfully accept the plunder? Wait a minute, I don't know if I joyfully accepted the plundering of my goods. Like what? You know, like, does this apply to me? Like, joyfully? Wow. This is amazing. This like goes right with the offering, right? You know, like the psychiatrist would say, like, you know, like, you know, okay, he has a little button under his desk, you know, for the men with the white coats come in, you know. Yeah, I joyfully accepted the plundering of my goods. Oh, good. Yeah, where's that button? Yeah. Here is the purpose, okay? Knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has a great reward, but it doesn't only have a great reward then, one day, but it has a great reward today. Like your confidence in the promises of God. And by the way, God just keeps making promises. Like, you know, you think about like Abraham and what did Abraham do except like receive the promises and say, okay, I believe that. I'll believe that. And even sometimes he didn't believe it so much, it seems. And sometimes it seems like he had, I don't know, I don't know if I can trust you for this one, God, so I have to lie about, you know, well, she's my sister. Twice, you know, she's my sister. And so not so much confidence. And then when he's 90 years old and God says, you know, yes, you're, you know, like, remember the promise? You're going to have a son and Sarah with Sarah. Sarah's going to be a mom. And Abraham's like, I'm 90. She's 80. I'm sorry. I'm 99. She's 80. Like, you know, or 90. Okay. Let's start this message all over again. Okay, he's almost 100 and she's almost 90 years old, and he's like, and it says like he looks at her and goes, and he says, and you know, I mean, this is so amazing, right? This is us, right? You know, like God says, you know, like, no, this, I'm gonna do this, and we go like, and Abraham says, like, what is it? What I have already Ishmael, Right? So Abraham's response to this amazing, like God reconfirming the promise that Abraham has been doubting about, right, for these years, like 25 years, and God reconfirming it and saying it's going to happen, still going to happen. Even though you thought you had to do it yourself, no, it's still going to happen. And even though, yes, you have Ishmael, but it's still going to happen. And so Abraham's, instead of going like, woohoo, Abraham says, well, may Ishmael live before you. You know, and God is like, you know, you're not responding the right way. Like, and sometimes we, by the way, don't. Like, we just don't get it. We're like, I don't know. Like, what I've got is good enough. And God's like, no, I have so much more. Like, I have so much. I'm sure that all of us, when we get to heaven, when we finally see him, we're gonna say like we're gonna sort of be, oh my, like what was I anxious about? Like, what did I miss? We can say like, all right, here I am, Lord, today, and I want the reward, like of belief, of faith now, and this is what he's saying here. This is where the reward is from. Don't cast away your confidence, your faith. And we talked about this last night a little bit about patience, and patience doesn't mean having a. Oh, look how patient she is, you know. Patient just means like you don't quit. It just means you keep coming. It just means you grab a hold of God and you say, like, I'm going to believe. And God's, you know, is like, no, like the Syrophoenician woman who Jesus, like, no, I came, I didn't come for the dogs. And she's like, what? Like, no, she's just like, she's hanging on, and she go like, no, I want this, and I know you can do this. And God is just loving, I think, faith and patience. Like, when you didn't quit, when you just kept going, like, even though you were like, I really need patience. And God is like, you know, you're not quitting. That's patience. You're not giving up. You're just saying, I'll keep coming. I'm not going to stop. I'll keep moving forward. And so your confidence, because why is it that you keep coming? And we mentioned this on Friday night. Like, we came to Jesus because, like, we saw, we heard, we thought there is no condemnation in with him. And so that's why we came. But, you know, so it's also why we follow. Like, we follow, we continue because we keep on thinking, like there's still no condemnation with him. Like, I can come after I've failed. I can come. People in Argentina, many of our people who are in our church have heard us on radio. I understand it's like many of you have also had contact with this church and with Pastor Moore from the radio program. And we do, and it's the same for us in Argentina. And then, but you know, they hear the teaching and they love the teaching, and they say, some of the people then start coming out and they're saying they come for the teaching, but then they come into the church and the teaching is there and it's awesome, and it's because it's the Word of God, and it's grace oriented, and it orients people to grace. Because in this world, by the way, you know, have you noticed that the world is not oriented to the grace of God? the world is a fault-finding world. This is not a fault-covering world. This is a fault-finding world and a fault-uncovering world. That's what it does. But the church is not a fault-finding organism. The church is a fault-covering place. And this is what's awesome. Like, people come, they hear the teaching. I say, wow, this is great teaching. I go, and then they find something that's even like, they're like, wow, the people, the love, the relationship, the grace that the people have, and it comes from teaching. It actually, you know, it's not separate. You can't really separate the two. Like I have a guy who, there was an Argentine guy that, oh, I love him so much. He has a particular like favorite pet doctrine that he just won't let go of, and he wants me to teach that way, and I don't agree with his particular doctrine, and so he goes to another church, but he came out and he said to me like, well, I really think I should be with you guys. He was with us for many years, and both in Argentina and Peru. And he came to me and he said, this was some months ago, and he said, like, I really think I should be with you guys. And I was like, I mean, I think so too. He said, but like, because like you guys are awesome. I just love spending time with you. I love the raps. I love just, you know, our fellowship, and I love how you are with people. I love your how you evangelize, and I love your vision for souls and missions. I love everything about it. But if you could just like change this one teaching, and he said, because in the other place that I go there because I love their teaching, because I love that teaching, I will go there because of that teaching. But he said, but the people are weird. he said, I go late. And I leave early. I go, I hear the message, and I leave because he said, the people are just, you know, the people are, you know, he said, the guy will come up to me and put his arm around me and go like, what can we do for you today, brother? You know, and he said, so I don't, you know, I go, and I thought, like, and I told him, I said, you know, well, maybe you ought to consider that we are like how we are because of the doctrine. Like, we actually, it has had an impact. The grace of God has had its mark and has like really changed us so that we're not critical fault-finding people. Like, oh, I mean, of course we could go there. Like, we could go there like that, you know. But when we do, we like sort of go, oh, oh, wow, I don't want to go there. Like, Lord, help, Lord, wait a minute. I need to like turn the channel, turn it off. I need to, you have covered my, you know, we mentioned this on Friday night, Proverbs 17:9. He that covers the transgression seeks love. And it's such an amazing thing to seek love. There is great reward in being a love seeker. Like, you don't always find, you know, that's the thing, we said this too, like, you don't, there's no guarantee when you seek love that you find it. But the reward is not really in the finding of it, the reward is in the seeking of it. Like, covering, you're seeking love, you're, what, because what are you doing? Actually, 2 Peter chapter 1, like, because of the great and precious promises of God, like, we participate in the what? Divine nature. We are participants of the divine nature when we receive. And then, so if I'm receiving the promises, then I become one. I say like, well, that person is also like one who God is making promises to this person. The same promises that he made to me. The same grace for me. The same mercy for me. The same mercy for him or her. And it has an effect. Look, don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance. Again, like just keep endure. What do I have to do? Just keep on going. Just don't quit. Just endure, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. After doing the will of God. The will of God. What is the will of God? Is God? What does God? What does He say? What did Jesus say when they asked him in John 6, verses 28 and 29, I think it is? And they said to Jesus, yeah, I mean, such a human thing. You're like, what shall we do to put into practice the works of God? And what are the works of God that we may do them? And Jesus said, well, like the work, by the way, they asked plural works, and he answered singular work. I like it, you know, works, like the list, you know, what? And then he's singular. No, the work of God is that you would believe in him whom he has sent. Like, this is the work of God. You want to do the work? So, yeah, let's do the works of God. Yeah. Faith, like believing, receiving the promises. What can you do with a promise? How many times have we made promises to God, like Peter? Lord, even though all of these, or maybe we don't say, even though all of these might leave you, I will not. But maybe we say it like this. Well, even though all the times in the past I messed up, this time I won't. Or I never will again. You ever make a promise like that? It'll never happen again, Lord. And God is like. Isn't it great that Jesus, after he told Peter, really? So tonight, you know, before this night is over, three times you will have denied me. But the next words, let not your heart be troubled. The next words as Jesus and these guys are moving from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane, and they're walking. And I've never been over there in Israel to see these places, but I love maps and just, you know, big maps, little maps, detailed maps, topographical maps, all kinds of maps. Did some running yesterday. I was looking at a map beforehand, but then instead of actually going out on my own, I went with Fred and slowed him down. I mean, way down, because I run, but like, well, he didn't, you know, he's very kind. He didn't say, like, you know, like, that wasn't really running, Pastor. He's like, no, you're doing great, Pastor. Keep it up, you know. And it was good. Yeah, thanks for doing that with me. Yeah, but on their way from the upper room to where they had the communion, where Jesus washed their feet, where Jesus is speaking so clearly to them, and on their way there, so many things. Oh, it's such a beautiful just reading that all the events that are happening in those. In that time, as Jesus is with his disciples, and on their way, they're like, well, what is all of this? What does this all mean? And Jesus is just like making, like he's wanting them to understand. Like, I have promises for you. Like, this is it's all going to be good. Like, Peter, yeah, okay, you may. You know, you're making a promise. Well, you're going to deny me tonight that you even know me, but let not your heart be troubled. He says to all of them, like, let not your heart be troubled. You're all going to run away, but don't worry about it. Like, you're going to fail, but I got it. Like, it's don't worry. Like, you're going to be fine. I see you at the end of this thing. And what am I asking for you? Just don't quit. Just keep going. Just keep showing up. Just say, okay, I'm, you know, what I don't know what I'll face, but I'm gonna continue. I'm gonna believe. This is the awesome thing that God is looking for. Just faith. Like, he's not looking for, like, what can you do? But he's looking. I mean, I've made those promises to God. And by the way, did anybody ever, like, keep those promises? Was anybody ever successful with that? Like, you know, like, oh, I promise it'll never happen again, Lord. Of course it'll happen again. Something will happen. I mean, you know, like, I don't know how many of you guys knew Pastor Palmer. In Baltimore, Pastor Palmer, sweet man, One time at Fellowship Hall in Baltimore, I can still see his early 90s and in a wrap. And he said, like, it was a lunch wrap, I think. And he said, like, he just looked out over at us. And he said, you know, like, it's not that you will never react in the flesh. Don't think that you will never react in the flesh. The question is not whether you will or will not ever react in the flesh. The question is, how fast will you adjust to the grace of God? Like, how quickly can you recognize, oh, that's the flesh. Like, and I, by the way, I don't really need to be figuring out, like, about your flesh. Like, it's just God's revealing, you know, God's not really revealing your flesh to me. God's revealing my, you know, oh, that was your flesh to me. You know, God's, seems like God is always dealing with me. I don't know if that happens to you, but it happens to me. Like, God is, like, you know, like, you come to a church or to the message, and I think, like, oh, like, well, I hope the preacher preaches on this because my wife really needs it, you know? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when I'm really going to get it, you know? And not from her. And not from her. Look. Okay, let's go back just to Hebrews chapter 2, and we're just going to finish in just a few minutes here. Verse 1, Hebrews chapter. I love the book of Hebrews. I just really love. Well, you know, it's so funny. We say, oh, I love this chapter. You know, it's like how many of them do you all of them? Hey, that's awesome. That's really an awesome thing, by the way. Like, you know, someone says, what part of the Bible should I fall in love with? You can't pick and choose. Like, what part of my wife did I fall in love with? Her. You know, the whole person. Like, this is amazing. Like, the Bible with the awesome, terrible parts of the Bible. Fall in love with the awesome, terrible parts of the Bible. I mean, the parts that you go like, wow, I don't understand that. It's like still God. It's still God. Like, I don't maybe understand everything, but man, oh Lord, I love you. Like, and the everything. Look, Hebrews 2, verse 1. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Huh. Yeah. I got, in other words, like, what does that mean? I give them more. We were talking about, someone told me, they said, in my car, I still have a cassette player. I'm like, wow. It's an antique car. Still has a cassette player. I pop in a cassette. I mean, that's what we used to do. Like, and it doesn't matter. Hey, if you have a cassette player in your car, hallelujah. Like, God bless you, man. Like, how'd you keep that car running all these years? That's a miracle. But I don't care whether you pop in a cassette or you open up, you know, I don't know what your website is here, or you open up ggwo.org and you know, download an MP3 on your phone and you pop that in, or Facebook Live, or however you do it, you know, look at, what does it say? We must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard. Hey, we already have heard them, but we have to give heed to them again. Isn't that good? Like, we've heard them, but we have to give, it's not, oh, I heard that. Well, okay, well, give the more earnest heed to it now. Hear it again. Pop it in again. You know, download it again. Listen to it again. It's amazing how much, like, a message will, like, just begin to permeate your soul and your heart and just give you, like, when everything else is falling, and isn't the world falling apart around us? Things that we didn't think that anybody would ever be confused about, people are confused about today. More and more. Things without, how, wait, you're confused about that? Like, which, you know, there's the, you know, on the bathroom door, this and the bathroom. I don't know which one I should go in, you know? Like, but we're not. Like, the world is confused, and we can be confused. I could so easily be confused, but I could, right? That's the thing. I could. But what causes us to not be confused? Instead of, like, you know, just paying attention to whatever the world is playing on, you know, whatever they're playing it on, then we must give them more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. So, listen, so it's possible. I mean, like, this is not, you know, I say, well, this is a terrible message, Pastor. Why are you telling me I could drift away? It's good for us to realize, hey, I could drift away from the things that I have heard and become confused. And by the way, like, doesn't it happen sometimes? You're like, well, I don't know what to do right now. And God's going like, oh, so come back. Like, what do you mean, come back? I mean, like pop in the cassette again. I mean, like, open the Bible again. There was. I close with this. I just so encouraged, you know, just by being here, looking at your faces, and in seeing you here with, you know, open Bibles or open iPhones or whatever it is that you have. I'm just teasing. You have a Bible on your iPhone. I have a Bible on my phone, too, but. But we just, like, I got a message. It was a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I was lying in my bed. It was like about 2 a.m. in Argentina, and my phone is like beside the bed, and I had gone to bed. I think I went to bed late, but I think I was asleep. And anyway, I heard the phone make a noise. And I looked over, and, you know, lights up, and I don't even know what time it is, but I look at the phone, and it's a message from this one young guy who was one of our disciples in Peru, and he's married, has a beautiful little daughter, his wife is precious, his name is Jeremiah, and it's a message from him, and he's doing so well. For a good amount of time, he wasn't doing so well, but oh, isn't that the wonderful thing? There's always, you know, the obedience, when God says, obey me, it's always for today. You know, it's not like, you know, but I didn't obey you yesterday, obey me today. But I already did obey you yesterday, obey me today. It's so good. It's so fresh. It's so, like, renewing. It's like, that's today. Obey me. So, and I got this message from him, and I looked at it, and he was asking me a question. He said, Pastor, I have a question about a couple of verses here in, 1 Corinthians 13 and 14. And I looked at it, and I'm, like, thinking about, like, what I should say, but I fell asleep. Like, you know, well, it's like, it's 2 a.m. in Argentina. It means it's midnight in Peru. It's midnight, and I look, and I'm going, so 45 minutes later, like, the phone is, like, laying on my chest, and, you know, and it, you know, vibrates 45 minutes, 50 minutes later, and it's like, you know, and I'm like, huh? You know, look at the phone, and it's, again, from him, and he says, it's okay, Pastor. I've been praying and reading, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And I just went like, hallelujah. Like, this is what we're looking for. Like, this is what we're looking for. The Word of God, teaching the Word of God, living the life of Christ, worshiping God. What a great worship team you have. Like, what beautiful worship. What beautiful words come from the pulpit, from this book, and prayer and caring so much, I read this message and I thought, here's a young man, 28, 29 year old young man, married little girl, doing so well, and he's just loving that. He's taking Bible college in Peru, and he's also taking our Bible college classes that are online in Argentina, and he has a question, but then he says 45 minutes later, like, and so here he is, and it's between midnight and 1 a.m. in Lima, Peru, and this guy who's worked all day long, and he has his Bible open from midnight until 1 a.m, and God is talking to him. And God is talking to him. Like, you know, and this is how God is with us. Like, God is talking. It's like you said. Like, yeah, God talks to me. Where's the button? You know. God talks to me. I go to the church, and I'm with these people, and they really love me. They don't even know me. But they don't know you after the flesh. But they do know you. What do they know about you? They know that God loves you. And they love you too. And like, it's awesome. Just awesome to be here. Awesome to open this book and to think about these things. we have the reward. This great reward is like with us right now, even as we speak. Like there is a reward that comes with just saying yes, amen, to the promises of this book. And we just say, I believe it. And God says, that's all I'm looking for. It's all I'm looking for. The transformed heart, the behavioral change, like I'm doing that. I'll do that in you. You just keep believing. You keep receiving and keep saying yes and amen as God gives you promises. Okay? Amen? Thanks, Pastor.
That was a great message. Wasn't that a great message? I mean, I just got blessed like crazy. In fact, I got a sermon topic out of it, too. Seed thoughts. Prepared for failure. That's what Jesus did to Peter and his disciples when he knew they were going to fail. He let them know ahead of time, and he put the spotlight right on that. So who knows, maybe I'll preach that message, prepared for failure. Although maybe nobody would come. You can't tell them until they're already in the place. Once they're all in place wondering what are we going to hear about, then tell them and hope they don't run out the door. But and what he was saying about just the blessing of looking at your faces. I mean, actually, we actually up here getting to look that way, we enjoy the church service more than you do because we get to look at your faces. And Matt just cracked me up today because he had this. That, he had a few other looks too, but just like, love Matt. I just need more Matt in my life. So. And his whole family, too. And then I was thinking about, you know, you were saying, like, you can't identify with the taking joyfully the plundering of your goods. And I was thinking, obviously, you know, the Hebrews of that time, there's a certain isagogics to it with that first persecution. But I totally identified with that, joyfully accepting the plundering of my goods because I have 5 daughters. This is my life. And, they're just used to it, like, just smile, Dad. I'm like, yep, okay. So anyways, we have communion. Those that are getting ready to serve communion, you can go and bring that in.